Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
Rishi Sunak has criticised Nigel Farage's claim that the West provoked Vladimir Putin's invasion of Ukraine. The Prime Minister says the leader of Reform UK's comments are dangerous.
What he said was completely wrong and only plays into Putin's hands. This is a man who deployed nerve agents on the streets of Britain, who's doing deals with countries like North Korea. And this kind of appeasement is dangerous for Britain's security, the security of our allies, and only emboldens Putin further.
Writer J.K. Rowling has criticised Labour for abandoning women concerned about transgender rights. The Harry Potter author said she would struggle to vote for Sir Keir Starmer if he keeps his stance on gender recognition. Spanish search and rescue teams have gathered again in Tenerife for the sixth day of the hunt for British teenager Jay Slater. The 19-year-old disappeared after attending the NRG Music Festival on the island with two friends. And the Prince of Wales celebrated his 42nd birthday at Taylor Swift's Eras Tour in London last night. From Radio News Hub, I'm Lucy Gormanley. The girl them's killer
chick. Coming up. Colourful celebrates Windrush Day.
Albert Einstein here. Chico and I are out for walkies in the park. My watch tells me we've walked exactly 3,004 steps, our personal best. Our steps aren't the only thing we track. Our smart meter display at home tells us how much energy we use daily, weekly and monthly, which can help me make changes to save energy. And now my watch tells me it's time to head back for a cuppa. Right, Chico?
For extra help managing your household budgets, search Get a Smart Meter today. Consumer action required. Eligibility may vary.
You ready, mate? Party people!
It's time for a party on Friday, the 5th of July, 2024, as I, Sly, celebrate 10 years on Colourful Radio at Bar Love 265, Portobello Road, London, W11 1LR. Look out for PAs from The Paradise Project, Chucky Banton and DCR, along with music from Colourful DJs Mixmaster Mac and Florian McBain. Party time is 7pm until midnight and entry is free. So that's me, Sly, celebrating 10 years on Colourful Radio at Bar Love on Friday, the 5th of July.
Courtney Laws, he was the godfather of Brixton. He was an important activist in South London and in the whole of the UK.
The Windrush generation are important storytellers of our history.
He was concerned that our civil liberties as black people should not be curtailed or trampled upon.
But there are so many unknown chapters that need to come to light.
On his arrival in England, Courtney immediately took up the mantle of mentor and protector.
This is a story about black ambition and black empowerment.
He was about the empowerment and the betterment of black people.
They could not do without him because he was a leader.
It's about leadership and the challenges that come with it.
I personally recall whenever he was being threatened by funders, including the local council. They can do what they like. We will still be here. Our spirit is strong and we will go on. I will do it my way. And his way he did.
I am investigating the life and the circumstances around the death and missing legacy of my dad, Courtney Laws.
He was too powerful.
They did everything to bring him down.
My Dad, Mr. Brixton, is the missing story from Black British history that you didn't know you needed to hear.
I'm going to be very frank. I was minded of Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, welcoming him. And not very long after, those same people were saying, crucify.
Download My Dad, Mr. Brixton, available on all podcast platforms.
Imagine, it's Saturday. 1 minute you're lying on the sofa, horizontal, in your pyjamas, trying to guess which celeb is dressed up as a singing chicken, eyeing up the last sweet and sour pork ball. And the next, corn crackers, you're a millionaire. Lotto, will you be next? Play on app, the National Lottery. Account terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
Colourful. Colourful. Colourful celebrates Windrush Day. Windrush Day.
Thank you for joining myself, Sinai Flary, on another special show celebrating Windrush and Windrush Day. I'm joined by the wonderful Patrick Vernon, OBE, so who you would obviously know is one of our prominent campaigners in Britain. So, Patrick, how are you?
Yeah, I'm fine very much, Sinai. It's been a while, actually. There was a time that we were inseparable, weren't we?
I know. And then our schedule sort of took us separate ways, but we're reunited again on this call. So thank you so much for giving us some time. Patrick, what does Windrush Day mean to you?
Well, it's got lots of meanings for me. And I know that some people contest the word Windrush, and I acknowledge that, I respect that. But what it means to me, it means one level, it's a kind of period of history. Period of British history of migration of not just people from the Caribbean in particular, but also I see the Windrush story linking to people from particularly from West Africa as well, because I think the Windrush ship could have left the west coast of Africa. It just happened to leave Kingston on the 24th of May 1948, but it could have been anywhere, you know what I mean? So the Windrush, it's a history of a chapter in British history around migration. It's also about honouring the parents, the grandparents and the great-grandparents' contribution after the Second World War. I mean, people use this expression, they were invited. It wasn't quite a gold-plated invitation. It was actually, the invitation was kind of subject to conditions. And then when people arrived in Britain and realised the conditions was basically the colour bar and racism and not valuing the talent. And you have to remember, it was the youngest and the brightest that came to Britain, you know what I mean? And that talent wasn't really honoured. And so people had to accept jobs, opportunities below what their expectations were. So I think part of that is about acknowledging the sacrifices that they made, not just here in the UK, but some people made sacrifices in terms of that leaving their children behind, coming later if they came at all, other sacrifices as well. So I think it's about acknowledging that. And I think the third bit, obviously, is the injustices that's still ongoing. So obviously, we know about the scandal. And we've just launched this weekend a manifesto, which has involved lots of Windrush organisations, charities like Age UK, Black Equity Organisation, and law centres, and it's been a real coming together. And it's Action for Race Equality. I worked with them, and particularly Kimberly McIntosh, who is their policy lead on Windrush, and both of us, we worked together on this manifesto. But obviously, we've got lots of input from lots of organisations and individuals. I think the actual manifesto has some key demands for any future government to rectify and resolve once and for all the scandal, if they're serious about doing that. Yeah. So Windrush has different connotations and different meanings, etc.
I love that breakdown, because I think it's important that we celebrate the lives and the legacy of our grandparents, our parents. But also we can't ignore the fact that there is this glaring ongoing scandal that still hasn't been resolved, that still is creating victims and so much trauma within our community as well. When we're talking about Windrush Day, I don't think it's great that we have it as well, but I think for maybe some people listening, they may not know that you played a key part in campaigning for us to have a Windrush Day in this country. Talk to us about what sparked that initiative for you to really call for an annual Windrush Day.
Well, to be fair, the person who came up with the idea for Windrush Day was the late Sam King, him and Arthur Torrington from the Windrush Foundation. So Sam King, served in the Second World War, came from Jamaica. After the war was over, people were demobbed. He went back to the Caribbean, and then they all came back on the Windrush ship. And actually, it's been estimated maybe about a third or a quarter of the passengers had a connection with the RAF or the Second World War as well. So the link between Windrush and conflict is quite important. So Sam King, when he came to Britain in 1948, he kept in contact with quite a few of the passengers. We now know, and we have access to the ship manifest, which is the passenger list, which is online now, and we can see who the passengers are, and some people view it to do their own research work in their family history. But Sam King actually kept a note of the passengers, or a number of the passengers, and kept in contact with them. And when he launched the Windrush Foundation with Arthur Torrington in the 80s, they had an organal event in Brixton Town Hall, and they started to do events recognising this history and contribution. So we have to owe a great gratitude to Sam King. And then in 1998, when it came to the 50th anniversary of Windrush, and there were a number of things that happened. I think Prince Charles at the time had an event. I'm not quite sure if it was Buckingham Palace or one of the palaces, where he honoured the Windrush generation, particularly those that I know at that time. There were quite a few of the passengers that were still alive in 1998. Yeah, so they were honoured by King Charles now King Charles, and then Mike and Trevor Phillips. They were commissioned by the BBC to do a 5-part programme on history of Windrush. So in many ways, I remember I was interviewing Trevor Phillips last year for the 75th anniversary at the kind of Royal Albert Hall. It was like just before the Windrush concert that took place at Royal Albert Hall, which Trevor Nelson was hosting. And Trevor said that all those original archives, I'm not quite sure which university's got them, but one of the universities have got the film footage and all those oral interviews that him and his brother did, you know, back in 1998. Yeah, so in many ways that was quite significant. Terry Jarvis, good friend of mine, TV producer, he did a kind of all-star Windrush concert on TV. So when it came to 50th anniversary, a lot of effort was made to recognise that history. By the time we reached the 60th anniversary in 2008, it was almost like the complete opposite. There wasn't that much happening. There was a boat trip I might have been Tower of London or Blackfriars Bridge down to Tilbury, and there were still events there, but there was nothing on a major scale. At the time, I was making a documentary about a good friend of mine, was Eddie Martin Noble, born in Jamaica in 1917. He'd served also in the Second World War. And he didn't see himself as Windrush, because when he was demobbed, he stayed on in Britain, whereas a lot of people went back to the Caribbean. So he never associated himself as Windrush, because he was already here, you know what I mean? So that's quite important to recognise that not everyone wants to use the Windrush label, and we have to respect that. You know, we're not forcing people to say that you're Windrush, because obviously there were other ships. Actually, the vast majority came by planes. Maybe we should call ourselves Heathrow generation. I don't know. You know, you know, they all came by plane, not by Heathrow.
Yeah.
So I think we have to recognise and respect that. But I think the vast majority of people are happy to coalesce around the expression Windrush and Windrush generation, because again, because of nature of history, that ship was chosen. You had all the film footage, Lord Kitchener on the deck singing "London's Fun Place for Me." There was so much interest in that ship. Mm-hmm. And also, we also found that afterwards, when David Onosuga did his TV program on Windrush, that there was lots of secret conversations in the Labour government, who didn't want, and the number of Labour MPs were lobbying Clement Attlee to turn the ship back, because the ship was going to cause racial disharmony and that kind of stuff. So we know that the invitation was a conditional invitation. Yeah. So when it came to 2008, I made this documentary called Charm Life. I did recognise Eddie as part of that Windrush generation, and people connected with that. So I made this documentary because he had passed away a year before, and I had all this film footage. I'd started to do my own oral history recording of elders, And I've been doing that for a number of years. So I've got quite a few interviews with my parents where I've filmed and interviewed them, just, you know, just but nothing to do anything with it, just for prosperity's sake. But when Eddie passed away, I wanted to make a film about his life, and I made a film called Charm Life, which I did lots of the editing, filming in 2008, 2009. And then when I finished the film, the Guardian was interested. I think I did a film screen somewhere, then I can't remember where it was. So I was put up by the Guardian newspaper. I wrote an article around about 2009, 2010 about Eddie, but also I was making the point that why can't we have a National Windrush Day? Actually, my original claim, or campaign, was why can't it be a public holiday? No different to, you know, Labor Day and Martin Luther King Day in America. Why couldn't we have the equivalent of that? So that was my actually, the original article I wrote is still online on the Guardian website. It's still there for all to see. And I said, by 2018, when we reach the 70th anniversary, I hope that this country recognises and honours that Windrush generation. Little did I know, you know, like 10 years later, we had the Windrush scandal. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm. So it just really, it's just reflecting on, I mean, I did a film screening. Last year I showed the film at the BFI. And the way I made the film, it's almost like, I can't explain it, Sana. It's almost like I was second guessing what was going to happen next.
Yeah, like because predicting it.
Not predicted it, but in the film, I actually made reference to the 1971 Immigration Act and how that was the sum of us being denied our citizenship, and that's how and that was one of the earlier considerations of factors that led to the Windrush scandal in 2018. So it's really weird when reflecting some of the stuff that you're thinking about. I wrote this article. A lot of people contacted me and said, this is a fantastic idea. Why can't we campaign for National Windrush Day? So essentially, I worked with a number of organisations and we formed almost like a steering committee, which involved Sam King. Sam King was involved in that early stage, was involved. And when we launched the campaign for National Windrush Day in 2013, there was myself, Sam King, his granddaughter Dion, Sundar Katwale from British Futures, and we were outside the BCA. But the BCA at the time, I was a building site. They were just literally building the BCA at the time. Mm-hmm. So we were there doing the first opportunity that we were in Brixton, Windrush Square, and all that kind of stuff. So between 2013 right up to 2018, we used to organise events in Windrush Square on Windrush Day. We had letters in the Times newspaper signed by celebrities and politicians. We had early day motions in Parliament. There wasn't that much traction, to be quite honest. There wasn't that much interest. I remember one time I said to Sam King, we're not going to get this Windrush Day. And he said, if it happens, it happens. Just, you know, because he'd been around for a long time. So he, you know, I remember we were already celebrating Windrush Day anyway. It wasn't like we were waiting for the government or for permission to celebrate Windrush Day. People were, you know, the Huntleys, Eric and Jessica Huntley, they used to organise Windrush Days in Ealing. In Birmingham, there were church services in Birmingham. So it wasn't like people weren't doing stuff around Windrush Day. People were already organising events and activities and recognition during Windrush Day prior to the scandal. I think that's quite important because I think a lot of people and some campaigners think that the Windrush Day was that the government decided Windrush Day and that's why we'd need to campaign Windrush Day around the scandal. I recognise that, but the government only adopted Windrush Day. Remember, they adopted it. This came from the community. It came from us. It was not a diktat from central government saying now we're going to do Windrush Day because of the Windrush scandal. A lot of people get confused around that. They think Theresa May made that announcement thinking that it was her idea. It wasn't her idea. It was Sam King's idea. But a lot of us coalesced around that. And what I did was to take it to the next level as a campaigner and activist, working with a whole range of stakeholders around the campaign for a National Windrush Day. So and I can remember at the time during the height of the scandal, I was having just before the scandal, I was having a dialogue with Number 10 for them to start thinking about what they should do around Windrush Day around 70th anniversary, and that was back in 2017. Anyway, to cut a long story short, we had the Windrush scandal in 2018, and so Theresa May apologised and also adopted Windrush Day as part of that. And that's why Windrush Day, unfortunately, is linked between the scandal and the recognition. And I've always used this expression, I've said it quite a few times, Simon, on our shows, it's bittersweet. Yeah. It's bitter because of the injustice, and it's sweet because we have to acknowledge this history. So until the Windrush scandal is completely resolved, we will always have the two. We will have two sides of one coin, one about the history and the heritage and recognition, and the other side about the injustice. It's mean. So yeah. Well, it is what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. And then just to sort of go on to the next point, I mean, when you say about the injustice, I mean, just this week as well, you know, the High Court ruled that Suella Braverman, when she was Home Secretary, acted unlawfully when she dropped three key recommendations from Wendy Williams's review into the Windrush scandal. What message do you think this High Court ruling sends to the government about their decision to drop these recommendations?
Well, anyway, it was a struggle in the first place for them to accept the recommendations, because when Wendy Williams did her review, did her report, which a lot of people contributed to, and I did, I gave written evidence, and plus I met her a number of times, and people, I mean, initially, a lot of us wanted to have a public inquiry, very similar to what you see now with the post office scandal, and they've got the public inquiry and it's televised, and you can see all the people being, in the witness box being scrutinised. We wanted something on that level, but the government blocked it at the time, and instead offered us having this lessons learned review. So we gave Wendy Williams benefit of the doubt, and you know, we interviewed Wendy, didn't we? We actually interviewed them that the same week her report came out in Parliament for the Lady Parliament. And I did. I had to do a campaign, a petition, with 130,000 people signed to force the government to actually even adopt the recommendations. That's when, and that was under Priti Patel's watch, and they accepted it eventually. So when Braverman decides to drop the three recommendations, it just feels like a kind of a pattern of not a proper, genuine commitment to say that we're going to do this, we're going to take it on board, we're going to take it on the chin and work with the Windrush community. They never have, because one of the recommendations was for, and this was quite key in Wendy's report, reconciliation events.
Yeah.
That Home Office officials and government ministers should meet in person Windrush victims and their families and hear directly the lived experience. She felt that was important for them to understand, so they can then be informed much better when it comes to making decisions on policy. That the very fact they dropped that recommendation, that says it all, Sinai. Yeah. So I remember at the time when those recommendations were dropped, and I wrote an article about this, and this was outrageous, we need to fight this. Then I started having dialogue with BEO, Black Equity Organisation, and they were interested. I convinced them that it was important for them to do something about this and to take action. So two things we did. We did a petition, which about nearly 60,000 people signed last year, and we presented that at number 10, and that got a lot of media coverage. Then through the work for the Public Law Project, who then contacted me and said, "What, Patrick, what can we do to force the government around these recommendations? We're thinking about doing a judicial review. Who should we work with?" And I said, "Well, let's work with BEO." So I worked with BEO. Obviously, they briefed barristers and stuff, all the legal stuff you can think of. Then they asked me, Glenda Caesar, and Anthony Bryant's partner, Janet, to give written evidence as part of this judicial review, and we did. We actually gave written evidence. They've got other evidence from other experts, but they gave evidence from us. And then when a hearing took place, about 5 or 6 weeks ago, I attended the hearing. I attended one of the days of the hearings just to hear things. So I thought at the time, I wasn't even quite sure if we would win, actually, because it felt 50-50. The very fact that we got 2 out of 3s, I think it's fantastic. What it means, Sinai, is this is the timing of this is so perfect. Because number one, we've got general election, which means that lawmakers can't make any decisions until there's a new government. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So who's into power on July the 5th will have to just make a decision whether to accept this ruling and work with the Windrush community or fight it. So this is going to put any future government in a real... And then we'll know how serious they are. We know if there's a real commitment and desire to right the wrongs if they appeal against this, yeah? Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. The second thing is approaching Windrush Day. We've just launched our manifesto. We've got some key demands. And one of those key demands is implementation of all the recommendations. There's other key demands, removing the compensation scheme from the Home Office, more support around the mental health wellbeing of Windrush victims and all that kind of stuff. But I think this further reinforces that, and I think the first thing, which I think is quite important, around this old recommendations or the High Court ruling. If you look at the ruling document, I've read the judgment. It says that the Home Office failed in delivering the public sector equality duty. In what the basic was saying, that the Home Office was racist, didn't fail to follow the law, and therefore the judge didn't say they were institutionally racist. But to me, that's clear. Another example of institutional racism, the very fact they couldn't follow public sector equality duty. So that's quite damning in many ways.
Yeah, absolutely. And you touched on the Windrush manifesto, which you said has just been launched. Go into a bit more detail for that, because you said, you know, it's demanding its different key things for whoever comes into government in July. You know, I think it's really important as well that this manifesto has come at this time where we've just had the High Court ruling ahead of Windrush Day as well. So Windrush is really a hot topic on the news and the media. Talk to us about the manifesto and where people can find it and read it for themselves.
Sure. So the manifesto has been it's been co-produced. So we've taken advice from, we've worked with Windrush groups. So ARE, Action for Race Equality, was a charity. They've been managing a program called the Windrush Justice Program, where they've been funding community organisations who provide advocacy support around helping Windrush victims to access, you know, exercise their rights around the compensation scheme status. And we've actually, you know, when we did our shows, Sinai, we actually interviewed some of those organisations who are now receiving funding for that. We've also looked at a number of reports over the last couple of years. So there have been quite a few key reports showing the failures of the compensation scheme and other aspects of failure around Windrush as well. So we've got report, Age UK did a report recently on Windrush and pensions. So we've been able to pull all the existing reports, feedback from Windrush groups. We did an online survey with organisations and individuals, which we got lots of feedback and lots of intel. The recommendations or the manifesto is really aimed not so much what happens during the next 2 weeks. It's more about what happens after the general election. So this is almost like a call to action. This is the kind of things that we would like to see in a potential King's speech in Parliament when Parliament resumes after general election. So we've got key headings around legal support for Windrush compensation claims, i.e. legal aid, because people don't get legal aid. A more independent process for tribunals. When people appeal, we need to make sure that appeal process is independent from the Home Office. We're talking about faster payments, which is something that we've always talked about all the time. And also given, recognising particularly those veterans who served in various conflicts, that they get compensated properly, because they're not getting compensation in that. Recognising loss of future earnings. There's a whole section about rebuilding trust. Part of that rebuilding trust is removing the compensation scheme from the Home Office, making application much clearer, pause deportation flights, have an independent advertising campaign on radio and TV and billboards to really promote the compensation scheme, basically. More dialogue with the High Commissions, especially because there's still a lot of people in the Caribbean and Africa that's been affected, and we need to have proper outreach work in there. Funding for community organisations. it's really a sad indictment that funders of philanthropists and the GLA have used their own funding to give, which been used in forms of grants to help fund community organisations do advocacy work. The Home Office do not fund advocacy work. The only advocacy work they fund is an organisation called We Are Digital, where you only get 3 hours of advice online. They don't even complete the forms for you. Just,
wow.
And it's been estimated it takes 154 hours for an average application form to complete, with all the evidence documentation. So people have been let down. And then we talk about repairing the harm, and that's implementing those recommendations from the Home Office, that especially the ones that's been turned down. And also we want to have an independent statutory inquiry with the power of subpoena, just very similar to the Post Office scandal, where victims can hear and give evidence, as well as those government officials who have not been called to account. And there are a number of people who have not been called to account, by the way. And even with Wendy Williams, when she did her review, she didn't have access to the papers at the Cabinet Office number 10. She was restricted in what she could do in her lessons learnt review. So all roads lead to number 10, to be quite honest. We want to have an investigation around the cause and impact of early premature death. As you know, Sinai, over 600 people have died connected with the scandal over the last several years. And we have these individual coroner reports, and these coroner reports don't even acknowledge that the disproportionate impact of the hostile environment policy. So we want to have a proper public health report looking at the causes of death, and looking at whether the hostile environment policy and the scandal has had an impact on premature death. I think that's quite important. Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, it sounds like so much is covered within that manifesto. So many important key points as well, which is fantastic. Just let me know where people can read it.
So you can go on the website, Action for Race Equality website. You can download the manifesto there. I think it's been covered in a number of newspapers online. So if you just do a Google search, ARE Windrush Manifesto, it'll come up. Also, I'm putting it on my website, so patrickvernon.org.uk. So details of this will be on my website too.
Just in a few words, what message would you like to send to the Windrush generation in maybe a couple of minutes?
Well, you know, Sinai, the last couple of months I've been to a number of funerals, memorial events. So Neil Flanagan, I couldn't make it to his funeral, but a number of people from the armed forces organised a memorial event at City Hall, which I attended, and I said a few words there. Then recently I went to the funeral of Norman Mitchell, 102 years old, from Harleston. Wow. and then the next day after that I went to another funeral, Connie Jackson, 96, who formed the very first charity looking at dementia in the black community. So these three elders, 99, 102 and 96, have passed away. It tells us all that the dawn of that chapter is closing, of the original Windrushers. Yeah?
Yeah.
By the time we approach the 80th anniversary and the 85th anniversary, there'll be no more left. This is the reality. So what I've said at all these events, and what I'm going to say for the whole of the Windrush weekend, by the way, at the various events I'm going to, is if there's anyone who's over 90, could be a family member, a neighbour, someone that you might see in the community, we need to document their history now. We have to. It's a moral imperative, because if we don't do that, luckily we've got some stories, but there's lots of people who have not had the permission or the opportunity to share those stories. We have to do that.
Yeah.
This is a moral imperative. I urge listeners, no matter what age you are, and you might not be part of the Windrush generation community, but if there's someone that you know who is of that generation, let's do something.
Yeah, That's really a good call as well, because, you know, so much history is being lost. So many people's stories are being lost. So it's important that we document it. Patrick Vernon, OBE, always so good to speak to you. I appreciate you coming on and sharing your thoughts on Windrush. I wish you a good and reflective and peaceful Windrush day. And we will definitely speak again soon, I'm sure.
No problem at all. And just want to acknowledge.
Colourful celebrates Windrush Day. Windrush Day.
Pay good attention and take it slow. Hear what happened where I live in Lupino. Pay good attention and take it slow. Hear what happened where I live in Lupino. I went in my garden for a bunch of fig. Rice scarce, type of feeling big. Coming back home to cross the river. Policemen stop for barilla. I look around, I put up my hand. I say today, Saifa in Vietnam. People see how they're crawling on their belly. Coming in the direction of me. There and then, I use up my head. I decide to have the police misled. Well, I drop down my pants and I start to run. If you hear them, yeah, gun, I see the gun. Want amusement, police want fame. So Saifa gone back in the bush again. Well, it's I in front, policemen behind. This time they're running as if they're blind. Round my neck, I have piece of rope. And my face have more hair than a bad ram goat. Don't came, I shower rain. Well, listen how I trap the police again. As I told you, I had to leave. I just had on a little more speed. Well, there's no police in a mush, because they can't catch me in the bush. This time I'm spreading just like I am. I went and hide up in Hotoy Farm. If you hear them, look today, look today, look today. Oh, you know you man, jackass may get away.
Windrush Day. Windrush Day. Windrush Day. Windrush Day. Colourful. Colourful. Colourful celebrates Windrush Day. Windrush Day. Windrush Day. Windrush Day.
Delighted to have with me Miss Elizabeth Coffey Rope, who is a fantastic school teacher who's really pushing for Windrush to be taught in her school. She does actually teach about Windrush in her school. I'm going to let her introduce her own self.
Thank you very much for having me. My name is Elizabeth Coffey Rope. I'm a class teacher in North London, head of personal development, mental health and well-being, and quite a few more hats, as should I say. But as Sina said, yeah, my main role is educating a lot of children, 30 children in year five.
Why was it important for you to teach your children about Windrush, and then talk to us a little bit about how you got them involved in recording these special messages which are going to be played?
So actually it's really funny, because at the my intention was not to teach Windrush. My intention was to teach, and certainly I realized there was a huge gap in terms of the national curriculum, in terms of Black history and other ethnicities in general. But I felt in terms of British history, the Windrush was a massive milestone that the children need to learn about, because thank you for the Windrush generation. When I look at my classroom, they opened the doors to immigration. They came, they left their homes back in the Caribbean and other countries to, you know, rebuild their motherland, the sacrifices that they did. And in my school, our driver is being a force for positive change. So for me, the Windrush generation literally completely aligned with our vision of the school and what we teach to the children, our vision and values. So I felt that there was a huge gap in terms of the history and how the history curriculum nationally is being delivered. So I really, really push for the Windrush generation to be taught and we manage, among other topics that I felt that it was, they were really relevant. So, for example, the children acknowledge Septimus Severus when they look at Roman Empire and other things, because representation is really, really important.
Thank you, Miss. And then you sent in some videos, and not videos, some recordings from lovely students in your class talking about the Windrush generation. Why was it so important for you to contribute to the radio program on Colourful Radio?
So what I, as I mentioned before, our driver has been a force for positive change. Being a force for positive change for us means delivering the curriculum through a social action lens. So it's really important for us and for our children that their learning is tangible. So everything that they do, it has a completely, everything that they do and they learn, it has to have a very quick impact so they can see and learn. Like, for example, well, we wrote letters to Mrs. Patel 2 years ago. So it was through the reading of Benjamin Zephaniah, Windrush child, and then English persuasive writing, and then history, the Windrush, and immediately it have an impact, because a lot of the children start bringing this conversation homes at home. They realize that their parents were immigrants. They also came from some of the countries that the Windrush, you know, arrived from. Even some children will come back and say, oh, my grandma was a Windrush, Miss Coffey. And until we raised this in the classroom, this conversation were not taking place. So everything becomes really tangible through delivering the national curriculum. We know our curriculum is not anything that we made up. That's what it is, but we're just filling those gaps and making the learning having an impact, an immediate impact, you know, for the children. Because sometimes you children feel that until I grow up, I cannot make a difference. So we wrote letters to the Windrush generation scandal victims. We got a reply from Home Office, and well, the rest is history. So last year we have a massive celebration for the 75th anniversary, and it brings this power into the children. You know, they feel like, okay, we're here, we come from different countries, but we did something. This is our country. It develops this sense of belonging as well, that unfortunately in some areas and some communities they receive a lot of rejection. So this empower the children, knowledge should empower the children to be able to say, well, you know what was happening in 1948. You know what we hear. Have you heard about the Windrush? Because that's what you hear now. Yeah, so it's beautiful to see. And then for this year, we're having a celebration as well in the school. And being approached by your radio station has been a privilege. So the children feel like celebrities, because they're very passionate about the Windrush. They were so happy to, you know, to join, and especially the parents as well. So when I spoke to the parents, they were like more than happy for the children to take part.
Thank you, Windrush Generation, for being a force for positive change, just like us.
Thank you, Windrush Generation.
Hi, my name is Melek. I am 10 years old. I am a student at Kingfisher Hall Primary Academy. The Windrush Generation introduced vibrant cultural traditions, music and art forms, significantly influencing British culture and contributing to the multicultural fabric of the nation. Thank you, Windrush Generation.
Thank you, Windrush Generation.
Hi, I am Marda. I'm 10 years old and I go to Kingfisher Hall Primary Academy. And I would like to thank the Windrush Generation for jerk chicken, colourful clothes, reggae and carnivals.
Thank you, Windrush Generation.
Hi, my name is Kendall. I am 10 years old and I'm a student at Kingfisher Hall. Did you know many members of the Windrush Generation work for the National Health Service, NHS, filling critical shortages in the healthcare sector and helping to establish the NHS as a cornerstone of British society?
Thank you, Windrush Generation!
Melek, Northern Cyprus.
Bade, Turkey.
Kendall, Jamaica.
Zanita, Ghana.
George, Cyprus.
Effie, Zambia.
Marta, Sierra Leone.
Thank you, Windrush Generation, for your equality, justice and anti-discrimination laws.
My name is Matty. I am 7 years old. My school is Kingfisher Hall Primary. Thank you, Windrush Generation, for showing all the country that being different is a good thing.
My name is Grace. I am 7 years old. My school is Kingfisher Hall Primary.
My name is Ella. I'm 7 years old. My school is Kingfisher Hall Primary Academy.
Thank you, Windrush Generation.
Thank you so much. And we appreciate all their messages. And then just lastly, Miss, like, what's your own personal message? I know I asked you for messages from the children to the Windrush Generation, but what's your own personal message you would like to send to the Windrush Generation?
I have so many things to say to them, but first of all, I want to say thank you. Thank you very much. Your effort, your sacrifices were not in vain. Secondly, I want to say that your legacy is here and it will continue. Okay, I mean, all the work, the children are so aware in terms of legislation, all the platform that layer for the new generations still becoming better and better and better for all these ethnic groups that, you know, we're going through racism and institutional racism every day. You know, we have news, a Windrush scandal. But I had to say to them, thank you very much. And I can promise them that while there are educators like me in the system, and educators and doctors and lawyers and journalists like you, their legacy will continue. So thank you so much for showing us the way. Thank you so much for always persevering and showing.
Colourful celebrates Windrush Day. Windrush Day.
More questions than
should we give? Oh, there are more questions than answers. Pictures in my mind will not show. There are more questions than answers. And the more I find out, the less I know. Yeah, the more.
Christ in his kingly character, Christ in his kingly character, Christ in his kingly character, Christ in his kingly character. One loaf, brother man, say Rasta, who goes, it must be Jaja. Thank goodness I don't have to wonder, I know who he is forever. Christ in his kingly character, Christ in his kingly character. Christ in his kingly character, Christ in his kingly character. His foundation is in the holy mountains. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of the Almighty. He's a living legend of this Iowa. Conquering lion of the tribe of Judah. Christ in his kingly character. In his kingly character, Christ in his kingly character, Christ in his kingly character. Many know the truth and hide it, many feeling the vibes and try to avoid it, but the truth must be revealed, and oh my God is real. Christ in his kingly character, Christ in his kingly character, Christ in his kingly character. Christ in his kingly character, 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 Christ in his kingly character. Kingly character, Christ in his 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 kingly character. One loaf, brother man, say Rasta, who goes, it must be Jaja. Thank goodness I don't have to wonder, I know who he is forever. Christ in his kingly character, Christ in his kingly character, Christ in his kingly character, Christ in his kingly character.